Welcome to this week's show. It's Ramon Thomas from the Netucation for the Nation podcast. This week's episode will be a beginner's guide to privacy. As I was preparing for this, I really became overwhelmed by the vast amount of information that's available about privacy. But let me just start by reflecting on some of the fundamentals. And I'm going to start with the dictionary.com definitions of privacy. Privacy is a state of being private and retirement or seclusion, a state of being free from intrusion or disturbance in one's private life or private affairs. That refers to the right of privacy, the right to privacy. It also refers to secrecy and a private place. And it's very interesting that this word originated somewhere around 1400 in the late Middle English, refers to privis. And there's a philosophy of privacy, the condition of being necessarily restricted to a single person. And from the computing dictionary, where only the intended recipients can read a message. Well, data protection and privacy go hand in hand. And what I'm really going to focus on this week is internet privacy. And I'm going to try and answer a few questions. The first one being, what is privacy and why should we be concerned about it? Well, I've given you sort of a broad couple of definitions from dictionary.com. But for me personally, after 20 years on the internet, I believe privacy is the most fundamental aspect of protecting yourself on the internet. It is not viruses or antivirus software. It is not the operating system that you use. It is not the firewall software that you may be using or any other mechanism. It's not even really encryption, but it's a keen awareness of what should be private and what should be public. And really just that distinction between public and private, that's the key. If you can understand that there is such a distinction. A lot of controversial things are said about teenagers, about different generations. Generation X or the millennials do not understand or value or respect privacy. Now there is new research and new findings which clearly show that they have become more sensitive. And as older people move on to the same social networks and adopt the same smartphones and applications and apps that the Generation X people use, they are moving to more private and more exclusive and more limited platforms, in fact. But I'll look at that in a future episode in more detail. Why should we be concerned about privacy? Well, the key is really what I've just been saying. Simply put, for me, a theory that I'm developing and have been developing. I delivered a brief introduction to this at a recent TEDx event in Port Elizabeth, South Africa, and that is that the lack of privacy is singularly responsible for the increase in online abuse and online harassment and cyberbullying, for that matter. So it's only when people protect themselves and protect their privacy online that they can be the first line of defense in terms of any form of online harassment and online abuse, including spammers and scammers. So that really should be a very good reason for you to be concerned about your privacy. There are a number of organizations that look after privacy. The two most prominent ones is the American organization called the Electronic Frontier Foundation and Privacy International. And I just would like to give you a little bit of information about these two organizations because they are quite prominent in terms of their activism. So let's start with Privacy International, a UK-based registered charity, defends and promotes the right to privacy across the world. First formed in 1990 as a registered and non-profit, and in 2002 as a charity. In 2012, Privacy International has organized campaigns and initiatives in more than 50 countries and is based in London, United Kingdom. Its current executive director since 2012 is Dr. Gus Hussein. Now, for the EFF, which is the American organization, the Electronic Frontier Foundation is an international non-profit digital rights group based in the United States. The EFF has taken action in several ways. It provides funds for legal defense in court, presents amici curiae briefs, defends individuals and new technologies from what he considers baseless and misdirected legal threats, works to expose government malfeasance, provides guidance to the government and courts, organizes political action and mass mailings, supports some new technologies which it believes preserves personal freedoms, maintains a database and website of related news and information, monitors and challenges potential legislation that it believes would infringe on personal liberties and fair use, and solicits a list of what it considers patent abuses with the intention to defeat those that it considers without merit. So, what does the South African Constitution have to say about privacy? In fact, what does any good constitution say about privacy, or should any constitution say about privacy? I found a very good summary by Don Edwards, and it starts off like this. The web page called Privacy South Africa, which is at privacy.4mg.com, says Privacy South Africa is a website designed to promote personal privacy and expose those who disregard the privacy of individuals in South Africa. Because they are greedy and selfish and don't consider the welfare of others, or just because they are ignorant. It's not really clear when last this webpage was updated, but he has a really funny riddle that he starts with, which goes like this. Question: what belongs to you but is mostly used by others? Answer: your name. So he continues and he says that we believe that you should be able to protect the privacy of your contact details as much as you protect your name. And here's the good summary to the Bill of Rights portion of the Constitution of South Africa, which came into effect, I believe, around 1996. In Section 14, everyone has the right to privacy, which includes the right not to have A, their person or home searched, B, their property searched, C, their possessions seized, or D, the privacy of their communication infringed. There is a really good summary on the Privacy Law website, and there's also a chapter in the first edition of the Cyber Law at SA book. It's a textbook that's freely available on the internet, compiled by Reinhard Bass, who is now deceased. I was very fortunate to meet and have some very positive interactions with Reinhard Bass several years ago, around the time that I wrote and published The Parent's Guide to Mixit in 2006 and 2007, and had a significant amount of interactions with the Stellenbosch-based company Mixit, which has developed an amazing instant messaging platform that runs on mobile phones. At the time, Reinhard Bass and his law firm Bass Incorporated were the legal counsel for Mixit and dealt with a number of issues that was exposed in the media about various abuses. And a close friend, not so much a colleague of mine, Priya Chetty, I believe Bass Incorporated was the first law firm where she worked. I'm not sure if that's where she did her articles. I don't think so. But she was at some point appointed to the Johannesburg office up until about the time of Reinhard passing on. Then she started her own law firm. And she also had a very strong focus on privacy in much of her work, although there was an aspect of it that looked at open source law. And just in reference to that, I'm a former member of the Free Software Foundation, and I do intend renewing my membership. And there's close ties between the Free Software Foundation and the Electronic Freedom Frontier. They often sort of cross-promote the campaigns that they have as organizations. And a big underlying emphasis of the Free Software Foundation is a fundamental respect of privacy and software, and ensuring that the software and the operating systems, in particular, that users use do not spy on them, as it is known that most Microsoft developed software do. Whenever a software program asks you if it can send usage information back to the creator, I think you should politely and respectfully decline to do so, because you are giving away little bits and pieces of your privacy. So, yeah, it seems like in most democratic constitutions and countries around the world that there would be some aspect of privacy that is covered by the laws of the country. Now, in recent weeks, there has been some really big controversies about the National Security Agency in America working with companies, and also various leaks from a guy called Ed Snowden that used to work for them. And it's extremely confusing following all of the different adventures. It's something like a James Bond movie, or perhaps a Jason Bourne movie, in terms of this particular character that has leaked a lot of controversial information. I think in the same breath, one could possibly mention Julian Assange and WikiLeaks. And there's certain aspects of their work that they've done in terms of exposing the Big Brother spying of governments and certain big organizations on citizens and people. I think this is probably best covered in a separate episode, so I'm going to move on to the next question that I'd like to address, which is just again, very basic introduction. How can you protect yourself from spying on the internet, whether it's from a government or from a company, a private company? It really starts with not signing up for every social network and not creating profiles, left, right, and center, and downloading apps all over, all the time. One of the fundamental things that I do suggest, which may be common sense for people that have been online for a very long period of time, which is to create a separate email account and use an obscure name, a nickname, or just a pseudonym or some other name, and use that email address to actually sign up for social networks and profiles and apps and things. And try and separate as much as you can Something that is perhaps work-related to those things that are personal. It's extremely difficult in this day and age because many companies are demanding access to people's Facebook accounts to do background checks on them. And in fact, you don't even need access to a person's Facebook account to see most of what they are posting because Facebook continuously revises and changes their rules and how they actually display and protect users' information. But Facebook probably deserves a podcast show on its own. So yeah, the fundamentals of protecting yourself is don't download unnecessary apps, don't install unnecessary software, and don't register or anything that you do not have to register. Even if the company says that you should, and there's certain benefits to that, I think sometimes the lack of privacy or the loss of privacy is far outweighed the consequences of that than the benefits of registering to get free updates from a company. I mean, you could just go and whenever you feel like getting the update, go and look at their website and see if there's anything useful or the software's been updated and then download it. How can you protect yourself specifically from Google, Facebook, these companies and services that we seem to be using on a daily basis as we conduct our lives on the internet? I think one of the fundamental steps for me shifts has been really to reconsider using the Google Chrome browser. I refuse to use it because it basically sends every single thing that you do back to Google, and Google is tracking that. Why should I be bothered about Google tracking that? Well, Google is a American company and it has shareholders and it's really not accountable to it, people, to the South African government. I mean, if the South African government ever demanded certain information from Google or for it to change certain laws or business processes, I think they would just laugh at it. Companies like Microsoft and Google have both faced huge opposition from the European Union in terms of certain abuses that they've had. Predominantly, it had to do with competition. But the basic way you would protect yourself from Google and Facebook would be to use. I think you can certainly start with the Firefox browser and installing the Do Not Track plugin. Now, there's a few other plugins that you can install as well that stops ads from tracking you and cookies from being installed. But really, just Mozilla is a foundation that promotes privacy quite significantly. I am a member of the Mozilla Foundation and I recommend that if you are serious and curious and interested about internet privacy, that you also look at joining the Mozilla Foundation and you stop using Internet Explorer and stop using Google Chrome and just fully embrace Mozilla Firefox. It runs on all platforms, including Windows, Mac, Linux, and of course Android as well. How can parents protect their children's privacy and vice versa? I think really it's really important that you talk about publishing of street addresses, physical addresses, and any kind of personal information that can identify your location. That is the key. Just switch off location on mobile devices and whenever a web page requests your location, I mean, just really, why the hell do they want your location in the first place? So parents have to talk to their children seriously about privacy. I think it needs to be an ongoing conversation because there's various repercussions to that. As I mentioned in my TEDx talk, TEDx Summer Strand talk in particular, I'm looking forward to the video of that being online, that there's a direct correlation in the increase in cyberbullying and online harassment and the ignorance prevalent, the prevalent ignorance with internet privacy. So What really, in conclusion, I suppose I could say that when we ignore our privacy on the internet, we will suffer the consequences. And we continuously trade our privacy for convenience. It's almost the same as the fast food versus healthy eating diet. People want convenience and they want speed, and KFC and McDonald's provide that in large quantities in easy accessible in an easily accessible manner with a friendly sort of environment, especially for children and families and playthings, with excellent marketing supporting that. It's very difficult to fight and argue against that, but hopefully you can, after listening to this podcast, start to rethink privacy. This is a beginner's guide to privacy. It's an overview. It's just a highlight of some of the things that you need to take into consideration. And I'd really like to hear from you. If you have any comments, please post them on the podcast page on Podomatic, and send me your questions, which I can address in future shows. I will definitely be adding a Q&A section, and I am lining up a number of interviews with people that I will be conducting either via Skype or via email or some other mechanism, and incorporating that into this podcast. Initially, my goal was to do this once a week, but I believe if I can do something effectively once every 2 weeks, I can really focus on the quality a lot more than the quantity of the podcast. And I'd like to give a shout out to the Tragedy and Hope community that has encouraged me to put together this podcast. Even though a lot of my references will be about South Africa being based here, I have lived and traveled in the UK, the United Arab Emirates, Tanzania, China, and so on. And so I know that there's a global audience out there, and I will always be looking at the global big picture before drawing specific references to South Africa or any other country for that matter. And I also look forward to, just interacting with other people in other countries and looking at specific issues, especially like similarities and differences between South Africa and those countries, regarding things like internet privacy and internet banking and how we all use these various services. So that's it for this week. That's me, Ramon Thomas. The founder of the Netucation for the Nation podcast. It's also a newsletter that I try to do twice a month or so. And if you go to the Netucation website, that's Netucation, you can sign up to the podcast and you can sign up to the newsletter. And I'll be posting as many notes as I can about the show. For now, I'd like to thank you for your attention and wish you real focus and attention to your privacy as you continue to enjoy the wonderful benefits that the internet and the mobile world, and the wireless world, I would say, has presented us. That's Ramon Thomas from South Africa signing off on this week's episode. As Jim Carrey said in the movie The Truman Show, in case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.